Welcome to Organized Chaos, brought to you by ADT Brilliantly Safe.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. Along with Rex Ryan, here's Bart Scott.
Welcome to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott. I'll be joined by Rex Ryan a little later. The Kansas City Chiefs take care of business as they beat the Denver Broncos, and it was the Kansas City defense that showed up and showed out, capped off by Sorensen going for a 75-yard touchdown. Kansas City Chiefs now remain one game above the Los Angeles Chargers for the AFC West supremacy. It's going to come down to the wire as they still have one more matchup to go. Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, the offense still looks stymied at times, but they made just enough plays as Mahomes is coming back to form. You think about most playoff teams. It's November, December is when they start rising to the top and they're getting that timing back. You have to give it up to Schwartz. It seems like he does this every single year as the defense show comes out and we have questions about it. But they're finding ways to get turnovers, playing a lot of man-to-man against a very game and capable personnel when you think about the Denver Broncos. Teddy Bridgewater, tip balls, muff kicks, turnovers. You can't do that if you're going to beat the Super Bowl contending Kansas City Chiefs. They fall short, and their playoff hopes are still alive, but they're starting to become on life support.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And Rex, we're going to do something a little different, right? Because I feel it would be disrespectful to the rivalry to start with the 1 o'clock games. Let's start with the game that's nearest and dearest to our heart and didn't disappoint. Probably the game of the week so far. Raven Steelers.
Oh, my goodness, Bart. And you know how difficult you and I both feel after this game. But yeah, you know what? It is so funny because I was like, man, the Steelers are dead. The only thing I recognize, their uniform. And then the fourth quarter comes rolling around. And in the fourth quarter, Ben Roethlisberger looks like freaking Ben Roethlisberger. Yeah. They put up 17 points in the fourth quarter. I don't know what you thought, Bart, but. You know, hell, he looked good in that damn fourth quarter. But up until that point, I was like, these guys stink.
Well, we know what it usually comes down to, right? It comes down to Big Ben when he goes no huddle. He starts calling the offense itself. And I thought the Ravens defense did a horrible job. Jimmy Smith, you know, on the touchdown of Deontay Johnson. Well, even at the two-point conversion. I mean, like, you're looking up here, you point to the guy, so why are you continuing to take your body there and get out-leveraged if you guys were going to get a jam by Patrick Queen but also have a limbo? Like, once he went inside, he was going to the inside receiver. You just pretty much picked yourself. You had 3-on-2, and Jimmy Smith, I thought, played a bad technique in that game. When he jumped up and pouted himself, he should have been pointing at himself because they already limboed it, so he's supposed to be outside, and you had the extra jam. And once Deontay Johnson went inside, he should have just played the way that it was supposed to be played. But we know when it comes down to those decision-making, you get outflanked quickly, and Big Ben is going to take advantage of that. He may not have the arm strength that he used to have, but he understands how to take advantage of man-to-man coverage. And once again, it happened on the touchdown pass, too, when you talk about, you know, Marlon is in a no-win situation, right? If he stays behind, he continues to slant a legal pick route. If not, he pivots back out. So that's why you have to either get off the same level and get a jam at the line of scrimmage. That's basically essentially the same play that, you know, in the Super Bowl with Seattle in New England, he just pivoted out. That's all that is. And the only way you can stop that is if you get a quick jam at the line of scrimmage so he can't get off, you know, he can't get underneath and get a natural pick. And even with that, you know, you got to have a Herculean effort to even get that out. So I don't know why they didn't have somebody else over there, Rex. I thought it came down to some bad defensive calls and understanding what Ben – and that's the play that they've always run.
Yeah, no, you're right. And it's funny because the Ravens are number one in the entire NFL in red zone defense. And that was disappointing. They got him to third down. But here's the thing. When is the last time Ben Roethlisberger ever completed inside the 10-yard line a ball against red two drop? Never. He never completes one against a three-man rush, a red two drop, we used to call it. And the funny thing is that's – tailor-made for that exact situation.
Yeah, pivot back out to the corner.
And if you're Baltimore, you overload with the coverage and all that type of stuff. I have no idea why they didn't go to that call. in back-to-back plays. I would have gone back-to-back plays with that call, a three-man rush, and let him play coverage. Ben Roethlisberger ain't going to run for it. Like, he's not like it. Lamar Jackson back there. He can't hit anything. We played him years and years and years, and in that exact situation, we go with that three-man rush stuff, and it, he couldn't do it in his prime. He damn sure can't throw it in there now at this stage of the game in his career, 18 years in.
I know you agree with the decision to go for it for two to try to win it, because it looked like that defense had nothing left, couldn't stop the run. They were getting bully balled and, you know, being aggressive. But this loss sends waves. This puts New England as the number one seed. And now this is a game you should have had. Now you're playing another divisional opponent next week in Cleveland. I don't know if I would have went 4-for-2. I would have gave myself more opportunities to win, because you kick the field goal. You don't know. Maybe you get the ball and Lamar Jackson does something special. And I didn't understand why they wasn't chipping T.J. Watt a little bit more, coming out with Andrews or something like that. Because, you know, maybe you go with the big guy, Ricard, and you chip him out and let him be the check down. But you can't let T.J. Watt wreck a game in that situation.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. But the only thing, Bart, I'm going for two there. And I thought it was a gutsy call, no question. But you're right that you and I thought, you know, before about, look, the defense gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter. They weren't going to stop them. It's like once that dam broke, it was all she wrote, that you weren't going to stop them. And that's kind of what it felt like to me. Sorry, I'm playing baseball here. But that's what it felt like to me, that they couldn't stop them. So Harbs is like, to hell with that. We're going down. We got, if you're rating who do you want to run a 2-point play, one of the top quarterbacks in the league, you would say, I'm going to take my guy, Lamar Jackson, and give him a run pass option. And let's face it, the call was there. It was the right call in the situation. Lamar just overshot a little bit, and Andrew's got to come up with that, in my opinion. And know what? We'd be saying how great a call it was, because quite honestly, I've been on sidelines like that. Every now and then our defense, you know, you get gas, you feel like this. And I remember going up there saying, you know, occasionally, like, look, dude, let's go for two in this situation. So to me, I thought it was a great call by Harbaugh. Obviously the results weren't, but I still thought the call was the right call.
See, but for me, I know, okay, if that's the play you want to do, you have to figure out a way to get hands on TJ Watt. The reason why the ball was so flat and it had so much steam on it and not a lot of touch is because you pretty much unblocked TJ Watt. You know that he's going to make the right decision. And you know that he's either going to jump, especially if you'll get hands on him. So if I'm doing that, I'm running that to the opposite way. I'm going to make that other kid be special. Right. And if I don't know if the Steelers play left or right or how they play it, but I would have set the defense one way, shifted off, and then went to that way. And then brought it across. Anything to stay away from TJ Watt, because if Lamar Jackson would have had to try and be special and take the ball down and run with it, I'd rather do that in a guy that's not continuously the defensive player of the year in the conversation.
Right. Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I mean, he is a difference maker. There's no doubt about it. But the simple fact is, the damn guy's wide ass open. I mean, he's going to walk into it. And even if you just pop it over him, it's a damn touchdown. But they missed it. And it is what it is. You know, the Ravens, look, the Ravens have been winning these games all season long. And for them to lose one, hey, it's just karma, you know, because I never seen a team. They win the ugliest way of anybody. I was like, this is going to be a damn typical Ravens win.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I know, hey, they're not the number one seed. Hell, they shouldn't even be close. They got half their damn team out. The fact that they're in the playoff hunt is amazing to me. You know, so to me, I never expected them to be the number one seed. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. They got Cleveland. Again, Cleveland's a better team than Pittsburgh. So, Will Baltimore get back up for them, or, you know, I guess we'll find out. But this, what this does, it actually keeps Pittsburgh alive.
Right.
You know, that I think more importantly, it keeps them alive.
Right. And then for Ben, right now, he's already been telling teammates that he's not coming back. You know, I mean, you know, that's Captain Obvious, but, you know, now, you know, it's like, you know, Michigan, Ohio State, you know, as long as you beat the Ravens, you know, everybody will, all sins can be forgiven, at least for a little while. So back now you give them life and energy, and this may be a team you may not have to face if they get in, because it looks like Cincinnati, you know, can't figure it out. I don't know what kind of team Cincinnati is. You know, they play well and look good, and then they go fall down to 24-0, you know, against the Chargers. And, you know, you talk about a West Coast team coming back to the East Coast, you know, to the Midwest, whatever you want to call it. And then to go down like that, and then you get fortunate enough by able to get a couple of turnovers to get back in the game, only to get blown out again. So I don't really understand and know, you know, who the Bengals are. And hell, I don't know who the Chargers are. Like, I'm so confused about, is this team good or is it not good?
Yeah, well, it should be good because you got a great quarterback. Like, you should have one of the best quarterbacks in the league in Justin Herbert. So to me, it's like, I mean, that's John Elway for the older generation. This is the closest thing to John Elway we've seen. So that alone ought to tell you that, damn, this team ought to be great. But their defense is not consistent, you know, and their offense, quite honestly, hadn't been consistent. I will say this. For the first time in a long time, they finally threw the ball deep. I've been all over these dudes about, hey, you know that number 15 right there? That dude can haul ass. Let him run down the field about three times at least a game and throw it to him three times a game. You want to loosen the coverage? That's a way to loosen the coverage. And they finally did. Herbert underthrew him twice, but one was a touchdown, you know?
You know, going back also, like I said, like, I don't know, like, they're technically still the seventh seed. I don't know, like, you know, how they finish, but now it's going to get interesting coming down the stretch. And, you know, these are when things come back to bite you in the butt, right? Because, you know, the Ravens had an opportunity to create some separation. You know, Cincinnati had an opportunity at home. You talk about winning your home games, especially when you have a team coming from the West. Now they've made it more interesting. You know, you look at, you know, what happened with Washington and the Raiders, right? That's an intriguing game as well. You know, you talk about Washington, you know, we thought that they would be heard for before it's all said and done. And now, I mean, without their best player on defense, you know, they find a way to go out west and find a way how to get a victory. And once again, you got the Raiders that beat the Dallas Cowboys on the, you know, on Thanksgiving, only to lose to Washington. I don't get it.
Yeah, well, the Raiders stink. I mean, they've been playing like crap, you know, the last month of this season. And there's where I always like, they got that, you know, head coach that nobody knows who he is and nobody knows his name. Well, that's how their team plays. Like, they say, well, you know, you want, but they lost something when Gruden left. You know, this ain't the same team. You got, you know, you got all of a sudden you're scoring 14 points and you're the Raiders. Like, so to me, I don't know. They're pretenders too, but there's a whole bunch of pretenders up there that still have opportunities to, you know, to make a run. And Washington's one of them too. Like, Washington's finally playing defense the way we thought they would. So that's going to give them a chance. And in that game right there, it was like, you know, it kept going back and forth. It was the worst game. It was 7-6 entering the fourth quarter. But, you know, then the Raiders take the lead. And then, you know, it's just funny how that game goes. But, you know, you got to tip your hat to Washington. They're staying the course. They're beating some crappy teams. And now they're 6-6. And hell, last year they made the playoffs winning, what, 6-7 games? Yeah. So, you know, that's nothing new to them.
And then, listen, once again, it's another one of those 4 o'clock games. You know, it's odd. I don't know what it was in the water today, but all the four o'clock games came down to the wire, right? It came down to the wire. And one that was surprising, a team that hasn't lost in a month, San Francisco 49ers, tip ball at the end, fourth and goal. I mean, you talk about coming down to the last play. You know, Kittle had a tremendous game. But once again, like, you know, the Seattle Seahawks find a way to win. And they always play the 49ers, you know, tough, right? And like at they four, at, yeah, and at four, they always play them tough. And at 4-8, I don't know. Like, you know, all these questions about Russell Wilson, is he going to go? I don't know if it's enough games for them to even be considered to be in the postseason. But is this more about Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll deciding to stay with each other if they're able to play and come down and get kind of hot and say, you know what, you know, this was an aberration and you got hurt. We lost some things. This can be fixed. Is this what it's about? Is it about them being able to play well enough to maybe, you know, to keep Russell Wilson engaged and Pete Carroll interested? Because it seemed like a couple of weeks ago, Pete Carroll had no answers for what the things were going on. And then that week followed with another loss in the following week. This week, maybe it can stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and it's funny because I see Pete Carroll, you know, when they take the lead, boy, he's over there animated on the sideline, hitting his players, you know, getting everybody fired up. When they get in their ass kicked, he disappears. So it is kind of funny to watch. But speaking of disappearing, Russell Wilson, at the start of this game, I'm like, ugh. Like, what is wrong with Russ? All of a sudden, man, he started throwing that deep ball, that moon ball, and everything else. And it's like, okay, maybe Russell's back. So, yeah, good for them. And they ran the football and things. But I'm going to tell you something. Like, I don't think they're going to make a push for the playoffs. I mean, you know, they put themselves too far back. So I think they're not going to make it this year. As far as those guys staying together, that's a possibility. We'll see. You know, it'll be interesting to see if Pete Carroll comes back. But Russell's coming back because, you know, nobody's going to give you 3 first-round picks for Russell. There's no way. Not the way he's been playing. Unless he just is lights out at the end of the season, I don't see anybody, you know, coming up with a king's ransom for him. And let's face it, they have no draft picks. They gave him away for Jamal Adams. That trade was unbelievable for the Jets, by the way. You know, looking at the other side, the 49ers. Here's the thing about the 49ers that I know. I know that when they're completely healthy, when they have Debo Samuel, they have George Kittle. Yep, they got Trent Williams, they got, you know, all those guys, Bosa, every single one of them, when they're Ayuk and all that, when they're healthy, they can beat anybody, and they will beat anybody. That's who they are. The second one guy goes out, they never win. And you can almost bet against them. So what do you don't have? You don't have Debo Samuel? Pick against them. They don't have George Kittle? Pick against them. They don't have Garoppolo? Pick against them. They don't have Bosa? Pick against them. That's who they are. Like, they have to have everything exactly right. And when they do, they're amazing. It's kind of like a Ferrari. Man, as soon as you got a little nick, it's in the shop. As soon as that thing's tuned up, ready to go, everybody's healthy, that thing's kicking ass. But why the heck does a good football team like this, that's supposed to be a good team, how come they can't overcome an injury? You know, we talk about Baltimore, half their damn roster's gone. Yet they still are competing and they still win. This game here, they needed this game and they lost it. It's a huge loss for San Francisco. Because it'd be a shame. If this team doesn't make the playoffs, it's absolutely criminal.
I mean, you talk about that their team that was in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago and was able to get some good value. Just think, for Buckner, they got a first-round draft pick. Right. So, and that was one of those picks, you know, that they were able to kind of continue to build. And I thought Kinlaw replaced Buckner just as well. That was a steal in the draft. And what's to be said about this regime if, you know, they go to the Super Bowl, but outside of going to the Super Bowl, they can't find an opportunity, a way to kind of get into the postseason to run it back?
Yeah, is it the most overrated coaching staff in the league? And the most overrated GM in the league? I don't know. Because here's what I do know. 4 out of the last 5 years, they've finished dead last in their division. So they did have the trip to the Super Bowl, but they finished dead last in their division 4 out of 5 years. Now, that isn't, you know, people don't look at him that way. They don't look at Shanahan that way. They don't look at John Lynch that way. So whatever it is, maybe it's because they're on the West Coast and everybody sleeps through it. They don't even care. They saw this team go to a Super Bowl. But I've seen the whole picture. And in 5 years, 4 of those years, you've been dead last in your division. That ain't good enough.
Talk about one of the most disappointing teams in the NFL, Minnesota Vikings. Like, nobody wants to ever be on the Lions resume as being a team. They're being a team. Listen, I've been on the side of a team. Remember we lost to the Miami Dolphins when they were 0-15. Yeah. I mean, the dude from Stanford on a slant route, you know, it's like
in the double coverage.
In the double coverage, I ran everybody. Caught us playing around in a stem at the line of scrimmage and a slant behind Ed Reezy and hit his head on a goalpost. I think his name was Cameroon or something like that. I couldn't believe it.
Terrible. Yeah, the only thing, and he went for like 70 yards. But the funny thing I remember about that. Remember, we went with a 3-man rush because I knew the exact route. They had only run one route, and it was like the 4th time they run this exact play out of 4 wides. Remember?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, hell, this game's over right here. I'm going to have Ed trap it. We played 2-man. We had like a mic mix, but it wasn't a mic. I put Ed on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ed, just go for the pick. They're going to run a slant. He did, but he missed it by a couple of inches. Caught and he catches it in the double coverage. And I'll be damned if that guy doesn't split our safeties and put a house call on it. And big white receiver, and he goes for 70 yards or whatever, and the game is over. Remember what happened, though? We lost that game. They fired Brian Billick on that. They fired the entire coaching staff.
Yep.
And they said they fired me, but they never did. But obviously, but you know, but they did fire everybody, and I think that's what's going to happen with Zimmer. They're gonna have to get rid of him, and it's over. And you know, when you lose a game like this, Detroit. The thing I love about Detroit, they give every damn thing they have, but they are so outmanned right now, and not just because the roster's that. You know, is that bad? They've had a million injuries. They got a million guys on IR, and you know, it's all about the future for this team. But good for them, man. I've never been. I was jumping up and down. I had, you know, normally I have like a 2-inch vertical, dude. I was skying. I was up to at least 2 feet on that damn vertical. I was so happy for that team.
I tell you what, Dan Campbell had one because Jared Goff saved his ass. What was he thinking going for it on 4th and 2?
Hey, I love the call. No, and I'm going to tell you why.
Jared Goff,
you pocket are presence. Over, but you're over. And it's 4th and inches. But I would have just said, oh, let's just sneak it right now. They gave you just an over front, Bart. You see that? Like the whole A-gap's wide open. Instead, they run. Remember what we used to call this pass? We called it a Brad pass.
Yeah.
And the reason we called it Brad's, remember Brad Jackson got beat on it for a touchdown and we called it that. And then the funny thing is that like the next year we're playing the Jets in a regular season. They try to throw a Brad pass and he intercepts it. You know, Brad Jackson intercepted it. But then when we went to the Jets, we ended up calling it Woody Boot. And remember why we called it Woody Boot? Do you remember this? That's because the owner, Woody Johnson, that was his favorite play.
Yeah.
And thus we called it the Woody Boot. But either way, they went with that. And sure as anything, it ain't open. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And then you know what? But it was a saving grace. It actually ended up better for Detroit because they give up the touchdown, all that stuff. And now Detroit has to take Jared Goff. And that offense and go down the length of the field to score.
What coverage was that, Rex?
They
what coverage? Rex, I've never seen.
No, I did, dude. That was they were point shaving.
Yes. What's that, quarters? What the hell was that?
I swear, Bart, I'm still trying to figure it out because here's the crazy thing. They were backing up in the end zone. What the hell are you doing?
If they catch it in the end zone, it's a touchdown.
Touchdown. And sure enough, they put that little Saint Brown guy on the outside because he's a strong little guy. Before, you know, and so they put him in there, and sure enough, because they know it's going to be a contested throw. Hell, he breaks in there. It's like
there's nobody around. And then the safety comes down as an insert late. I'm like, is this quarters? Well,
yeah,
why like, they look like they were flat footing.
Yeah, they both should have jumped it.
What the hell is we talking about? Well,
that's
I tell
why
you what,
the dude's gone.
Yeah, there's that's the no fireball prince
survives.
Right there.
Yeah, there's no way he survives this one.
All right, Rex, let's take a break, man. Let's come back and talk a little bit about some of these 1 o'clock games. I know we kind of covered a lot, but let's come back and talk about some other games that happen at the 1 o'clock hour and see where we can go from there.
You got it.
Organized Chaos.
Welcome back to Organized Chaos. I'm Bart Scott, joined as always with Rex Ryan. And listen, Rex, just some housekeeping stuff, right? Of course, the Colts went and took care of business against the Texans. No letdown there. Jonathan Taylor continues to look like the only non-quarterback MVP candidate. And the Rams went and they took care of the lonely Jacksonville Jaguars and to trying to just get a win. When you're losing like that 3 in a row, you know, do you just need a win, especially no matter who the opponent is?
Yeah, and I tell you what, they finally – it almost looked like they took the field with a bit of confidence and a little bit of swag, and that's the way they needed to. Like, look, you put this team together. You have no draft picks. You have nothing. This is the best team you're going to have. So you ought to go out on that field and quit trying to trick people and start saying, hey, look, we're the L.A. Rams. We're going to beat your ass. And that's how they showed up finally in this game, you know, I get it. They're playing Jacksonville, you know, and by the way, Did somebody mention that this is the men's league and it ain't the kids' league? And everybody was telling me how great Urban Meyer is and all that. And I was basically telling everybody he was getting a baptism when he comes into this. Well, guess what? He's been getting his tail kicked, hadn't he? Watch him on the sideline. It's hysterical. Because anytime something goes bad, he's pulling Joe College over there, looking at a coach. Where's that, you know, receiver coach? Where's this guy? Where's that guy? How about looking in the mirror, homeboy? Because right now, you look like you are way over your head in the National Football League. So good riddance. Go get you a college job. You damn sure are struggling to coach in this damn league.
But that Oklahoma job is open. I tell you what, you know, you start getting a lot of these college guys pointing fingers. Matt Rhule let go Joe Brady today, though. Maybe he can go to Oklahoma and try and figure it out. It looks like nobody wants that job. But I tell you what, you know, let's go to Miami. Like, you know, something you talk about, you know, Miami, it is a team that was 1-7. Now they've won 5 in a row, 6-7. I mean, they got that bye coming up, and then they got the Jets. So we might as well just bang that up to 7-7. Tua right now is having a good game. I mean, yeah, a good season. You're talking about, you know, the second highest completion percentage, you know, for a full month, right? But I just don't trust him because his durability issues. And I don't know if you can really – and they should have known this. They knew that he was only a one-contract type of guy, right, because of all the injuries, because how frail he was. But now I feel like because he's playing so well that you're going to see what you want to see. It's like shallow hell. They're going to see what they want to see. And if they want to see a guy that can be their franchise quarterback, they're going to see that. If they see a guy that they still don't buy into, and it's a Russell Wilson opportunity out there, they have 3 draft picks. I think they would take a guy like Russell Wilson because they know that gives them an opportunity at least to be in a lot of games and be a perennial playoff team. But I just don't know what I would think and what they're thinking. Is this a good thing that they're continuing to win games?
That's damn sure a good thing because they're still in this. Like the way that, you know, the way the season's going, they're actually still in this. And let's face it, if you never knew the names, put the stats right next to each other. You're thinking everybody's raving about Mac Jones. Well, they ain't no different. Tua's completion percentage and Mac Jones about the same. So to me, you can look at it that way. It's just one of them happens to be the mighty damn New England Patriots. By the way, when they were 1-7, the only win Miami had was against that great Patriot team. So, yeah, look, I questioned the Tua pick when he came out because of the exact thing you talked about, Bart. It wasn't the fact he didn't have ability. I thought he was accurate like Drew Brees accurate. All right, that's who he is. However, the durability is a major concern. I agree with you. I don't know if he's going to be a second contract guy. Means that, you know, after 5 years, will we see another contract? Those injuries, you know, when you have a hip that's that bad coming out where there's arthritis and everything else already in it, that's a major concern. But right now, the young man is playing well, and it's time we give him his credit and his due. And the fact that he had to listen to all this Deshaun Watson stuff and all the Russell Wilson and all that, he's gone out and he's just balled. And so to me, good for him. And the Dolphins are playing their butts off on defense too. So they're going to have a chance. They can make it ugly on some people.
Yeah, and like you said, they got a favorable schedule coming up. We still have the Jets going on. I think they still have the Patriots as well. And who knows if the Patriots have things locked up, you know, the next time they play them, you know, it's going to be interesting on the other side, right? We got the Giants part of it. And, you know, Mike Glennon concussion. I don't know. I mean, 9 points, right? They fired their offensive coordinator and 9 points is what they end up with. You know, we talk about Brian Flores on the hot seat. Now it seems like his seat is cooled with all the transaction decisions they made. They have 3 draft picks in the first, you know, in the first round or 2 to be able to improve their team. The Giants have 2 as well, but I don't know how to explain it, man. Like 9 points.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is everybody's talking here about, you know, they're going to keep Joe Judge. What the hell for? Like you think, hey, people rip me. Oh, I don't have a clue on offense. Okay. We led the league in rushing damn near every year I was coaching. This team, what the hell do they lead it in? Nothing. They can't score any points. And it doesn't matter if it's Daniel Jones or the neck out there, the draft, they can't score. They can't score any points. And so to me, it's like, you know, hey, they scored more than I thought, because I thought they'd get shut out. They scored 9 points, but they scored 13 points and 9 points, you know, with Freddie Kitchens. Like, he was going to be the answer. Like, come on. And so what, are you going to keep Joe Judge? Let's keep Freddie Kitchens too. Who the hell's going to go to the games? Giant fans are a great, great fan base, but they got to be like, wait, you're going to fire the GM. Okay, I certainly understand that. Get rid of him. Oh, but we're going to keep Joe Judge. What? What? Like, yeah. Is he got, I don't get this. And to me, you better start over and you better have some plan, because their defense is actually respectable, but they're not great. And their special teams, with Joe Judge supposed to be the man on, they got a good kicker, and that's about it. And then their offense absolutely stinks. So to me, no, hell no. Dude, you normally get fired when you win 5 games. Okay, as I know, because I've seen it happen. It happened to me. All right. I got fired being 500 with the Bills. Wait, what the hell is this guy's record? Yeah, give me a break. He should be shown the door. And plus, what is he? Because he got such he's such a charismatic guy and connects with that fan base. Are you kidding me? This dude's the hardest guy in the league to like.
Yeah, man. I tell you what, it's tough in these streets right here in the Meadowlands, you know, for Jets and Giants fan. They deserve better, man. I think if you combine the two records of both of the teams at the end of the season, they wouldn't qualify for the playoffs. But let's go to a team that does qualify the playoffs. Tom Brady, huge win. Looked like it was a little interesting in Atlanta. You know, Godwin has a huge game. But I think the biggest story is when Antonio Brown comes off suspension, do we think that he will be welcomed back on the team? Because, I mean, I know Bruce Arians had to pull Antonio Brown to the side and ask him, was he vaccinated? Was he legit? And once again, we talk about Antonio Brown wasn't, you know, Antonio Brown, he was at the request of Tom Brady.
Right.
Bruce Arians never really, he won Bruce Arians over because he seemed like he was a different person. But yeah, I mean, well, it's a lot to the organization and a lot of everybody act like you're vaccinated is goes far and beyond, especially a guy, you know, when you talk about your coach being compromised with having cancer twice. This is a bigger story than we may think. It may not be just his troubles with the league. It may be his troubles with the team when he's off that suspension.
Yeah. The thing about this guy is he's got no respect for anybody. Okay. And he can claim he has respect for Tom Brady. No, you just spat in Tom Brady's face. All right, that's what you did. So this guy, look, everybody knows he's a turd, but I'm going to say this about him. That dude can play. Yeah. And you know what? If you're Bruce Arians, you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, say, you know what? Now we're going to use this guy. Yeah. We're going to use you to get another we're going to use you. And you know what you're going to do for your team? You're going to go out and you're going to ball. We know we can't trust you as far as we can throw you. We know nobody in this organization is going to like you. All right. Cause nobody can trust you. They can't trust you. And and you prove it time and time again that you're just going to disappoint people and everything else. So you know what, at the end of the year, the entire football team could say, hey, good riddance, dude. But as long as we got another Super Bowl ring and that kid can do that, there's no denying his ability as a receiver, and they're a much better football team when Antonio Brown's out there. But you know, Bruce Arians has got to be like, he's got to be kicking himself. He doesn't want this guy, but he also wants to win a Super Bowl. And so, you know what? Let's go back with it. We'll suck it up for a few more weeks that we got this guy. All right. And then say good riddance to him in the offseason.
Hey, when Gronkowski hangs his cleats up, will he be regarded as the best tight end to ever play the game, you know, considering what he can do?
I think so. And look, I'm partial to Ozzie Newsome because you and me both know Ozzie really well. And I thought he was just absolutely terrific, but if you can't deny this guy, he's such a great all around player. He's a great blocker, best red zone guy in the history of the game. And just, you know,
it looks like his feet hurt every step he takes.
Yeah, and he's with a back, so he's got a piano on his back, but it doesn't matter. Dude's just a freaking baller. And we would have loved this guy if he was with us. We hated his ass when he played for somebody else. But even then, it was like,
He can capture the edge. Yeah, he's like over from Revenge of the Nerds, man. But this dude just continues just to figure it out, man. And I think sometimes we, you know, look at him and how he can be like a character, and we forget just his football acumen, because dude, the page amazing. That him and Brady is on, because we know he can't run, right? If you should be able to they jammed him all the way up to like 15 yards on that streak pass. And he still just find a way. Tom just throws it up and he comes down with the ball. It's going to be interesting, man, because right now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are really in contention for still being able to see that number one seed. But the Arizona Cardinals came back and they had Kyler Murray, and they looked just like they looked when he left.
Yeah, the thing about Kyler Murray is he jumps right into that dang MVP thing, but he's not going to win it because he never played all the games. But Kyler Murray's special. And you know what? They're riding their defense, man. Yeah. It's not just this offense. They're riding that defense. And to me, Cliff Kingsbury, I think, has done an amazing job of coaching this year. Really showed his maturation, I think, as an NFL football coach. It wasn't about yards. Hey, we're going to throw it all over the place and how fast we can snap the ball and all that stuff is Mickey Mouse. Do that crap in high school or in college when you're trying to get you a head coaching job because the owners don't know any different. But to me, he's done, they're physical now. They're physical on defense. Yeah. Like, remember when he took over, the defense never mattered. Well, it matters now. And then when you look at it, so the defense is playing their
ass
off.
They've invested heavily in that defense.
Yeah, and they're pounding the football, so they're being more physical. Now, look, this wasn't a great game by their offense. They only had 257 total yards, but they scored 33 points. How? Because their damn defense is turning the ball over a ton, and they're getting stopped. So, to me, they are absolutely a complete team, and they're going to be hard to beat. And whoever's going to beat them, I think, is going to have to go through Arizona.
Yeah, definitely going to have to. If they have one Achilles heel, is you can run the ball on them, especially with J.J. Watt out. They're missing that great five technique to be able to get that penetration and set the edge from inside. But I just want to stop, and I want to talk about week 13, right? It's going to be capped off, with the Bills and the Patriots. I mean, with the Ravens losing, can the stakes be even higher? I mean, listen, yeah. Bill Belichick has an opportunity to be the number one seed. We thought that this team wouldn't make it to the playoffs, let alone be the number one seed. I mean, if you're like it in this game, how do you even keep it in perspective? How do you even like not be too amped up knowing what's at stake?
Well, I think you need to be amped up. I think it needs to be special. And Buffalo needs to go out there with confidence and saying we're the better damn team. And we're gonna show off on Monday Night Football. We're gonna show you what we're all about, and that's how they need to play this game. If they're playing this game on their heels because they're playing the mighty Patriots, they're gonna get beat by these guys. And to me, we would have killed to have played a Patriot team like this, this kind of offense. We would have killed their ass, like killed to play them. And so let's not sit back and say, well, these are just like the old Patriots, with Randy Moss and Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and all that. Hell no, they're not.
Yeah,
they're not that team. And so don't treat them like that team. Go out and punch them in the mouth and whip them. And the only thing that I worry about, because I think Buffalo is a better team, the only thing I worry about is this damn wind. If it comes kicking up a crosswind at 50 miles an hour, nobody can throw into it, and that would favor New England because they'll run the football where we know Buffalo won't.
Well, that'll cap off week 13, but I tell you what, man, short week, Steelers, old Big Ben going on a roll, playing the Vikings a little pissed off. All that good, favor that the Steelers just got could be gone in less than 5 days. If they go to Minnesota and lose to the Vikings, and then again, the oldest rivalry as well, next Sunday night, the oldest rivalry in football, Bears at Packers, capped off by the, man, I tell you what.
Rams Cardinals.
The Rams have – listen, week 14, I'm telling you, it's going to be something crazy because you look at the Rams and the Cardinals. Arizona won by 17 in L.A., but the Rams have gotten softer. Yeah. Since then, right? So, like, you talk about everybody's been beating up the Rams physically, and now you have Kyler Murray who has this extra dimension. I mean, jeez.
That's, yeah, that's... when I look at these, like, the Steelers should beat the Vikings. The Vikings will be without Thielen, probably. They're going to be without Dalvin Cook. So you're catching the Vikings at the right time. But do I really believe in the Steelers?
No, exactly. On a short week, you know? Big Ben.
Yeah, short week. No, I don't. But, and then the Sunday night game, Bears at Packers.
Yeah, well, you already know Aaron Rodgers.
Bears stink. Bears stink. You got to put the E owns them. He can show it. He can do all that stuff. And you got to think Andy Dalton's going to beat the Packers? Give me a break. No chance that happens. So we got the Rams at Cardinals. And I'm not going for the fool's gold that's out there in L.A. anymore. Give me the dang Cardinals.
I tell you what, Rex, week 13 is going to do it for us, man. I'm Bart Scott. He's Rex Ryan. And this is an episode of Organized Chaos. Rex and I will be dropping a new podcast each and every NFL weekend from now until Super Bowl Sunday. You can catch me weekdays from 12 to 3 Eastern time on Bart and Hahn. And you can catch me on ESPN Radio or ESPN Plus. You can catch Rex every Sunday on NFL Countdown and Monday mornings. It's going to be a juicy nugget. They're going to be coming at you tomorrow, Rex, on Get Up. Thanks for listening. Yeah, they're going to come after you tomorrow, Rex. See you next week, big fella.
All righty, Bart.
Thanks for listening to Organized Chaos. Check back for new episodes every Monday morning all season long, wherever you get your podcasts.